It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Good morning, Desley.
Good morning, Johnny, and what a stunning morning it is.
I know.
On a monumental week, really, isn't it? Gosh, today's going to be very monumental with the appointment of a new Māori monarch.
Yes.
Pretty exciting.
Indeed.
It's going to be this morning. And I think we all, as I know we have over the last few days, passed our respects to Māori in the passing of Kingi Tuheitia. Very sad day, but it'll be an exciting day too today as they appoint their new monarch. Will it be a man? Will it be a woman? Will it be whom? Big question.
Yeah, big question.
But also pretty monumental, Johnny. We've had the fantastic World Green Infrastructure Congress happening in Auckland this week. In fact, it's still on. And it's so inspiring. I mean, wow, it's just super, super fantastic. It's been at the Auckland University and pretty much includes some of the greatest minds within not only Aotearoa New Zealand, but in our international community who've come together to share experiences and expertise and ultimately catalyse change in the space. So super, super exciting.
Just a really top line outline of what it actually is, this World Green Infrastructure Congress. Is it to discuss nature-based solutions for sustainable urban environments?
It's basically how to green cities, right? So it's about urban strategies, you know, policy and regulation around that, environment and biodiversity, using technology innovation, how to include, green infrastructure to the built environment and urban form, and basically how to build neighbourhoods that help communities to thrive in that green way. You know, and let's face it, 2023... has for Auckland probably go down as history as one of the darkest times for our city because of the floods. So it's not as if our city hasn't already acknowledged climate change. We had Te Tāriki a Tāwhiri, Auckland's Climate Action Plan, which, you know, dealt with a number of things. But what the floods those weather events from last year taught us was that, you know, some of our existing infrastructure is based on old weather patterns and isn't fit for purpose, so we need to give water not just a place to rest, but the space to move around a city. We need to protect our urban forests and coastlines and take the opportunity to basically think differently how we plan our city. And, you know, green infrastructure is such a key part of that. So in short, you know, Auckland needs to go greener faster.
What are the key green infrastructure projects? Are there new developments in the space? What particular ways can we improve this green infrastructure? And what will these projects look like, Desley?
Yeah, look, as I said, it's not as if we haven't been doing the things. We've added over 200 mature native trees to Tiwanga and Key Street. But there are things like green roofs, green walls, making space for water and making sure that we keep an urban Ngāhere strategy and plant more trees and keep our green space. And interestingly, you know, one of the points that the Right Honourable Simon Upton, who is the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, he did a fantastic presentation. And the thing that he mentioned that sort of has stuck in my mind is, when you make a development or when you build a whole bunch of houses, in come the bulldozers and they flatten the section, and in doing so, they upset probably what we call the strata of the soil. And if you've only got a small amount of soil at the top, you're never going to be able to, you know, a good tree isn't going to be able to grow. It's not going to have enough of that good soil to sort of establish itself and to continue growing. You need to make sure that you don't destroy those top levels of soil, or if you do even it out, you actually put that top soil back in quite a big form. So that was really interesting. The other takeout I've taken is, you know, we talk about blue and green infrastructure, but actually what came through strongly in the conference from many international, and of course Ngāti Whārua was there representing our Indigenous people, but it's brown, it's blue, green and brown, using techniques and ways that have been actually around the world for ages, where they have protected Papatūānuku, the earth, in different ways. And that was pretty moving and powerful too, to see that happen from some international speakers.
Well, what steps are being taken to make sure that, or to ensure that this particular Congress or conference is going to actually have a tangible impact on local policies and urban development strategies in Tāmaki?
Well, that's the real key, isn't it? You know, it's no good having this wonderful world conference here if we don't take those learnings. So I've been talking to the university, and I'm going to get them to come and present a sort of a synopsis of the conference to all the councillors. We've got some of the guest speakers who have presented some papers. I'm also going to make sure that the councillors can be aware of that. We had quite a big contingent there listening, and the chair of our Planning and Environment Committee was there too, and I think we have to, as a city, make that commitment to go greener faster. But actually, there are some things that we are going to have to lobby central government around too, because if you don't have to involve, or if you don't have to include green infrastructure in some way to your buildings, it may never happen. If a developer has a cheap option, they may well go down that path. And I think whilst I was hugely inspired, and I mean the conference is still going, they're doing a lot of tripping around Auckland today to see some fantastic things, like to see some of our urban forests and some of our, green infrastructure that we've done. So it's great to be able to showcase our city. But the slightly disappointing, and I never like to be negative, but they had the World Awards for Green Infrastructure on Tuesday night, and we weren't even in the finalist anywhere.
Yes, yes.
The green roof, the world's best green roof, was in Geelong, in Australia. In fact, Australia came out quite well from the World Awards, and I kind of looked around and I challenged the university, I challenged our people, and said this is not good enough. Mm. We need to be there. We need to be, at the very least, we need to be a finalist, and we need to showcase that we will walk the talk.
Mm. Now, just rewinding a bit there and talking about, the money which central government has to spend on green projects, we've had the news this week of significant budget cuts to cycleways and walkways nationally. How will Auckland adapt its plans to support cycling and pedestrian infrastructure over the next few years with these cuts from central government?
Yeah, look, the National Land Transport Plan is kind of almost a 50-50 funding with central government on big stuff, right? And we have got a big contribution from them for the Glen Innes to Tāmaki Drive Stage 4 cycleway, shared cycleway. I mean, this is a mammoth cycleway. It starts, it's a continuation of Key Street along Tāmaki Drive, and then it will go across the water, Hobson Bay, and up the Pōuriwa Valley, over the other side and down to Glen Innes. And I suppose that if I was being positive about it, I would say, yes, they've put, $35 million in to make a huge contribution, far more than what we're paying for that section, to complete it, because there's nothing worse than having bits of cycleways that don't join up with other bits,
Desley, just on that, I've got a very specific question for you. Can you ask Desley when they are going to finish the cycleway from Hugo Johnson Drive through to Otahu beside the railway tracks, because cyclists heading south have to contend with Great South Road from Penrose to Otahu, one of the busiest industrial areas in the country? This particular person is saying they have at least two close calls a week.
Yeah, I don't know that off the top of my head, because yes. What's happened now, we've had this release just obviously come out this week, and then we will turn around and reflect our budget. So it's not as if the cycling projects won't continue. We will use Auckland Transport will rejig their budgets and allocations now we know where central government is coming from. But I'm more than happy to send you an email later today and just tell you where that particular project is.
All right. Okay. Now, obviously, there's a bit of a focus on new roads and state highways. Mm-hmm. How does the council plan to address potential increased traffic congestion and its impact on Auckland's urban environment?
Well, the best thing that we can do is up our public transport, right? Because if people can get to where they want to go quickly and efficiently by public transport, they may they then free up the roads for those who can't use public transport, actually need to drive for whatever reason, and whether they're tradies, you know, your plumbers, your electricians, whatever, or just people that can't get where they're going by public transport is easy. The big problem that we're grappling with at the moment is the fact that our rail network isn't operating at an opportune way, and that's therefore pulling people either to a bus network that doesn't do the same thing as well, or just puts people back in its cars. Yes. So our first priority, and we had a meeting yesterday with the Minister and with KiwiRail and Auckland Transport, and I was part of that meeting. I mean, they're about to tackle, you know, pretty much 18 months worth of renewals.
Mm.
So 12 years, sorry, let me get that correct. 12 years worth of renewals in about 18 months. So we've made it very clear, the government and us as well, that we need to up the ante and get the rail actually operational, because if it's not, and we've got CRL ready to go, you know, we won't be ready. But so we've got to get our train network operating. We're doing pretty well in the bus space. But, you know, the answer to your question is you've got to make sure that public transport is frequent, on time, and delivers a program that gets Aucklanders where they need to go.
Okay. Desley, one last question for you this morning. What are your thoughts on the government's shift away from funding walking and cycling improvements and its implications for Auckland's commitment to reducing carbon emissions and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle for its residents?
Yeah, look, I'm not the government, and at the end of the day, they got elected on change, for want of a better word. You know, we know that our roading network is important for certain things. I mean, look at the Holiday Highway, I think as it's called. It's made a huge difference. So I think, you know, investment needs to happen on our state highways and roads. Let's not, you know, it does. And that's, I think, what they're doing. But for Auckland, we need to keep investing in walking and cycling, and we need to keep investing in public transport, and we will be doing that. And I think that's, you know, whilst we don't have that, as much of that 50-50 funding as we've had previously, it's not as if we will stop.
Excellent. Hey, Desley, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning here on 95BFM. We'll look forward to speaking with you probably in a couple of weeks' time, I imagine.
Okay, thanks, Johnny. Ka kite, and all the best for our new Māori monarch, eh?
Nice one. All right, cheers.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.